Now on radio.lds.org, the Mormon Channel presents Q&A.
Welcome to another edition of the Mormon Channel's Q&A here at radio.lds.org. We take your questions and we try to answer those gospel-centered questions. You can email us a question anytime, anywhere by sending us an email at radio@ldschurch.org. radio@ldschurch.org. Our latest email came from Ryan. Ryan from Tennessee writes us and says, I understand there are three different levels of heaven according to your belief. I also know you believe there is a hell where really bad people go. My understanding is that there is a heaven like the stars, like the moon, and like the sun. The one like the sun will only have the select who obey his word and keep his commandments. If you're a Christian of a different denomination, where would you go? For a complete understanding of LDS theology on the kingdoms of glory, anyone could read from the Book of Doctrine and Covenants, chapter 76, verses 30 through 119. So to help answer your question, Ryan, and help understand who will be able to abide in the kingdoms of glory, we will be using a superb talk given on the topic by Elder Dallin H. Oaks, which was given April 1995 in the General Conference of the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. One thing that must be understood is that through the atonement of Jesus Christ, all people will be resurrected. After the resurrection, we will stand before the Lord to be judged according to our desires and actions. In John 5:28-29, it says, Marvel not at this, for the hour is coming in the which all that are in the grave shall hear his voice and shall come forth. They that have done good unto the resurrection of life, they that have done evil unto the resurrection of damnation. Each of us will accordingly receive an eternal dwelling place in a specific kingdom of glory. The Lord taught this principle in John chapter 14, verse 2, when he said, In my Father's house are many mansions. Elder Dallin H. Oaks, in the April 1995 General Conference, talks about our belief in the kingdoms of glory.
Like other Christians, we believe in a heaven or paradise and a hell following mortal life. But to us, that two-part division of the righteous and the wicked is merely temporary, while the spirits of the dead await their resurrections and final judgments. The destinations that follow the final judgments are much more diverse. Our restored knowledge of the separateness of the three members of the Godhead provides a key to help us understand the diversities of resurrected glory. In their final judgment, the children of God will be assigned to a kingdom of glory for which their obedience has qualified them. In his letters to the Corinthians, the Apostle Paul described these places. He told of a vision in which he was caught up to the third heaven and heard unspeakable words which it is not lawful for a man to utter. Speaking of the resurrection of the dead, he described celestial bodies, bodies terrestrial, and bodies telestial, each pertaining to a different degree of glory. He likened these different glories to the sun, to the moon, and to different stars. We learn from modern revelation that these three different degrees of glory have a special relationship to the three different members of the Godhead.
That's Elder Dallin H. Oaks. Ryan, some people will not be worthy to dwell in any kingdom of glory. This is that hell that you talked about. According to Doctrine and Covenants section 76, they will be called the sons of perdition and will have to abide a kingdom which is not a kingdom of glory. This will be a state of those who know God's power and have been made partakers thereof and suffered themselves through the power of the devil to be overcome and to deny the truth and defy God's power. Those who are not redeemed by the atonement are in outer darkness, which is the dwelling place of the devil, his angels, and the sons of perdition. Sons of perdition are those who receive no forgiveness in this world nor the world to come, having denied the Holy Spirit after having received it, and having denied the only begotten Son of the Father, having crucified him unto themselves and put him to an open shame. Such individuals will not inherit a place in any kingdom of glory. For them, the conditions of hell remain. Elder Theodore M. Burton in the April 1981 General Conference talks about the darkness of perdition.
I would like to speak about God's realm of light in contrast to the dark realm of Satan. Those who follow Satan will be cast into outer darkness where there is weeping, wailing, and gnashing of teeth. How terrible to live in such a place of darkness and cold. It is entirely different from what we usually think of as burning in hell. That burning is the lasting regret one feels who has chosen the darkness of Satan in preference to the light of Christ.
That's Elder Theodore M. Burton. You're listening to the Mormon Channel's Q&A. Ryan from Tennessee asked us about the three different levels of heaven according to our belief. Telestial glory will be reserved for individuals who receive not the gospel of Christ, neither the testimony of Jesus. These individuals receive their glory after being redeemed from spirit prison, which is sometimes called hell. A detailed explanation of those who will inherit telestial glory is found in Doctrine and Covenants, Section 76. Those who inherit terrestrial glory will receive of the presence of the Son, but not of the fullness of the Father. Wherefore, they are bodies terrestrial and not bodies celestial, and differ in glory as the moon differs from the sun. Generally speaking, individuals in the terrestrial kingdom will be honorable people who were blinded by the craftiness of men. This group will include members of the church who were not valiant in the testimony of Jesus. It will also include those who rejected the opportunity to receive the gospel immortality, but who later received it in the post-mortal spirit world. To learn more about who will inherit the terrestrial glory, see Doctrine and Covenants, Section 76. Speaking in General Conference in April 1995, Elder Dallin H. Oaks talks about these two kingdoms.
The lowest degree is the telestial domain of those who receive not the gospel, neither the testimony of Jesus, neither the prophets, and who have had to suffer for their wickedness. But even this degree has a glory that surpasses all understanding. Its occupants receive the Holy Spirit and the administering of angels. For even those who have been wicked will ultimately be heirs of this degree of salvation. The next higher degree of glory, the terrestrial, excels in all things the glory of the telestial, even in glory and in power and in might and in dominion. The terrestrial is the abode of those who are the honorable men of the earth. Its most distinguishing feature is that those who qualify for terrestrial glory receive of the presence of the Son. Concepts familiar to all Christians might liken this higher kingdom to heaven because it has the presence of the Son.
As Elder Oak said, there are three kingdoms of glory, the celestial kingdom, the terrestrial kingdom, and the telestial kingdom. The glory we inherit will depend on the depth of our conversion, expressed by our obedience to the Lord's commandments. It will depend on the manner in which we have received the testimony of Jesus. Now let's take a moment and talk about the celestial kingdom. The celestial kingdom is the highest of the three kingdoms of glory. Those in this kingdom will dwell forever in the presence of God the Father and His Son, Jesus Christ. This should be your goal, to inherit celestial glory and to help others receive that great blessing as well. Such a goal is not achieved in one attempt. It is the result of a lifetime of righteousness and constancy of purpose. The celestial kingdom is the place prepared for those who have received the testimony of Jesus and been made perfect through Jesus, the mediator of the new covenant, who wrought out this perfect atonement through the shedding of his own blood. To inherit this gift, we must receive the ordinances of salvation, keep the commandments, and repent of our sins. For a detailed explanation of those who will inherit celestial glory, see Doctrine and Covenants, Section 76. In January 1836, the prophet Joseph Smith received a revelation that expanded his understanding of the requirements to inherit celestial glory. The heavens were open to him, and he saw the celestial kingdom. He marveled when he saw his older brother Alvin there, even though Alvin had died before receiving the ordinance of baptism. Then the voice of the Lord came to the prophet Joseph. He said, quote, "All who have died without a knowledge of this gospel, who would have received it if they had been permitted to tarry, shall be heirs of the celestial kingdom of God. Also, all that shall die henceforth without a knowledge of it, who would have received it with all their hearts, shall be heirs of that kingdom. For I, the Lord, will judge all men according to their works, according to the desires of their hearts." Commenting on this revelation, the prophet Joseph said, quote, "I also beheld that all children who die before they arrive at the years of accountability are saved in the celestial kingdom of heaven." That in Doctrine and Covenants, Section 137, verse 10. From another revelation to the prophet Joseph, we learn that there are three degrees within the celestial kingdom. To be exalted in the highest degree and to continue eternally in family relationships, we must enter into the new and everlasting covenant of marriage and be true to that covenant. In other words, temple marriage is required for obtaining the highest degree of celestial glory. All who are worthy to enter into the new and everlasting covenant of marriage will have that opportunity, whether in this life or the next. Elder Dallin H. Oaks, in the April 1995 General Conference, talks about celestial glory.
In contrast to traditional Christianity, we join with Paul in affirming the existence of a third or higher heaven. Modern revelation describes it as the celestial kingdom, the abode of those whose bodies are celestial, whose glory is that of the Son, even the glory of God. Those who qualify for this kingdom of glory shall dwell in the presence of God and His Christ forever and ever. Those who have met the highest requirements for this kingdom, including faithfulness to covenants made in a temple of God and marriage for eternity, will be exalted to the godlike state referred to as the fullness of the Father or eternal life. This destiny of eternal life, or God's life, should be familiar to all who have studied the ancient Christian doctrine and belief in deification, or apotheosis. For us, eternal life is not a mystical union with an incomprehensible spirit God. Eternal life is family life, with a loving Father in heaven, and with our progenitors and our posterity.
That's Elder Dallin H. Oaks. You're listening to the Mormon Channel's Q&A. Thank you for tuning in to radio.lds.org. If you have a question concerning this show or this topic or any other show or any other topic, please feel free to drop us an email at radio@ldschurch.org. We received an email from Ryan from Tennessee who wanted a better understanding of the 3 degrees of glory. Ryan had asked, if you are a Christian of another denomination, where would you go? Elder Dallin H. Oaks, in the April 1995 General Conference, explained it as best as one can explain it. Listen to what he has to say.
The theology of the restored gospel of Jesus Christ is comprehensive, universal, merciful, and true. Following the necessary experience of mortal life, all sons and daughters of God will ultimately be resurrected and go to a kingdom of glory. The righteous, regardless of current religious denomination or belief, will ultimately go to a kingdom of glory more wonderful than any of us can comprehend. Even the wicked, or almost all of them, will ultimately go to a marvelous, though lesser, kingdom of glory. All of that will occur because of God's love for His children, and because of the atonement and resurrection of Jesus Christ, who glorifies the Father and saves all the works of His hands.
Elder Oaks also goes on to explain in the April 1995 General Conference, he talks about other Christian denominations.
The purpose of the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints is to help all of the children of God understand their potential and achieve their highest destiny. This church exists to provide the sons and daughters of God with the means of entrance into and exaltation in the celestial kingdom. This is a family-centered church in doctrine and practices. Our understanding of the nature and purpose of God the Eternal Father explains our destiny and our relationship in His eternal family. Our theology begins with heavenly parents. Our highest aspiration is to be like them. Under the merciful plan of the Father, all of this is possible through the atonement of the only begotten of the Father, our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. As earthly parents, we participate in the gospel plan by providing the mortal bodies for the spirit children of God. The fullness of eternal salvation is a family affair. It is the reality of these glorious possibilities that causes us to proclaim our message of restored Christianity to all people, even to good practicing Christians with other beliefs. This is why we build temples. This is the faith that gives us strength and joy to confront the challenges of mortal life. We offer these truths and opportunities to all people and testify to their truthfulness. In the name of Jesus Christ, amen.
That's Elder Dallin H. Oakes. Thank you so much for tuning in to the Mormon Channel's Q&A. If you have a question for the Mormon Channel, please drop us a line at radio@ldschurch.org. And thank you so much for listening to the Mormon Channel.
You've been listening to the Mormon Channel's Q&A on radio.lds.org.